Let's take a moment of silence opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. It provides us with the information that we need to have to illuminate our thinking regarding the circumstances we face, as well as the purpose for it and your plan and how it all works out ultimately to the ultimate good for those who love you. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of verses that are appropriate to our circumstance in our country today, given the status of the cosmic system's influence on the nation because of the negative volition. Ecclesiastes 8:11, we have, because the sentence against the evil deed is executed, not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. We see in this passage that the principle is that because of God permits, basically like God permits the people to run on a line like a fisherman might, and the hook is caught and yet it's not set. So God gives people the space to set the hook so that it's clearly an indicator of their volition. And of course that the consequence of that is to bring out the full extent of the evil. So you have to let evil run in order, its course, in order to display just how malevolent it is. And that's kind of like what's going on. If you don't allow things to progress in the wrong way, you don't expose individuals who are involved, and therefore they're permitted to continue their lying in wait. And of course, we see that happening in our country right now with our president. God's using this situation to bring more clarity upon really what's going on. Ultimately, though, God's in charge. Psalm 76:10a, for the wrath of man will praise you. That's the first half of that verse. So he's actually using the opposition of mankind to vindicate himself. 2 Corinthians 13:8 goes along with this principle, for we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. So again, we're either a good example or a bad example. So we are an example regardless. And our own lives are vindicated by truth. And we're either advanced or disciplined by our relationship to it. So ultimately, the truth is true, and it's, as I've noted prior, an independent variable. It always is. That God permits it to be opposed in the devil's world. So that's one of the characteristics of the devil's world. And of course, those who take advantage of the opportunity will ultimately be promoted. Psalms 11, verse 2, followed by verse 7. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Verse 7, the works of his hands are truth and justice, and all of his precepts are sure. So we know from this that ultimately God's in control of all things all the time. And we're to relax in that reality, even though the present circumstances may contradict that reality. In the end, the reality of truth will be vindicated. Of course, that's why Jesus was as a sheep before the shearers. He didn't say a word. He was truth. He didn't need to say anything. He understood that his mission was to become the sin offering, which means that the wrath of man would have to be deployed against him, which was the case, of course, only according to the permissive will of the Father. And of course, we understand that this was the will of God from eternity, because it was the only way God could resolve the problem he had with the fall. So Jesus became the offering, and as a result he had to suffer in our place. And that was, of course, contradictory to everything God was for, except on the basis of his grace. So he made the exception in Jesus, and Jesus became that sin offering. Ultimately, God's justice prevailed, however, and he was resurrected on the third day. And of course, that becomes the basis of our celebration of not only the Resurrection Sunday, but every time we celebrate the Lord's Table. So we're engaged in a study of Satan's cosmic system, a system of arrogant demonic thinking that is comprised of lies and deceit from the demonic viewpoint. Of course, remember, this is Satan, invented by Satan. God, remember, God did not create evil. He permitted it. He created the potential. But volition created, ultimately created the evil. The same with the sin in the garden. God created the potential, but Adam and the woman and followed by the man created the sin when they chose to go against the will of God. So God is the architect of freedom, and he's not threatened by negative volition. He has everything under control. And so he's willing to allow bad choices to be made because he recognizes that in the process he will be vindicated, because as we noted early, that even the wrath of man shall praise you. So he's not threatened. We are threatened by that kind of thing. We get upset when righteousness and justice doesn't prevail in a relatively short time. God's not threatened. He has all the time in the world, and in the work of Jesus on the cross, he's purchased whatever forbearance is necessary to bring out everything and expose everything, and that's his purpose. And mankind is existing for that reality. In fact, we are the ultimate vindication of God, because he set us up in a position of to fall into a position of weakness and depravity, and then use his grace and love as a means of extracting those who would have positive volition to him. Everyone being potential, but not everyone chooses to take advantage of it. So we have this demonic viewpoint that's opposed to God and his truth and his will and his love and his grace. And of course this was invented by Satan and his fall. So since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, separated from God in the darkness of spiritual death, of course that's under the influence of Satan's cosmos, this has become the viewpoint and basis for all conflict in the human race. So every conflict that exists is an artifact of negative volition to the Word of God. The reality is, if we are all oriented positively to the Word of God all the time, there would be no conflict. That's why, in the end, the only place there is true unity is in the doctrine. When we all come to the unity of the doctrine, that's the end game. And of course, that doesn't happen until after the resurrection. In fact, it doesn't really happen until the end of the permissive will of God as it's being implemented through the human race at the end of the Great White Throne, when all of those who are positive are ultimately established with God in eternity, and all those who are negative are established with God in the lake of fire. As I've noted lately, the lake of fire has to do with purification, and that's connected to the perfect justice and righteousness of God. And I'm believing that it's more of a reality of the truth that contrasts with people's negative volition that becomes the basis of their loathing. So at this point in our study, we're looking at Satan's cosmic two system, where irrationality, disillusionment, and discontent from cosmic one arrogance metastasizes into hatred, hostility, and antagonism in opposition to God, his people, his policy, and his plan. So people who become self-absorbed and self-justifying and self-deceived then ultimately go into implacability, where they implement denial and projection. So in other words, they're unwilling to accept truth. They move into a status of opposition to God, and that's what happens with Satan. Starts with his rejection of God and his attempt to assert himself, followed by, once that's thwarted, of course, ultimately opposition to God will be thwarted because truth is vindicated. Then, that if you continue to function, if you're permitted to continue to function and you don't have a change of thinking, then you are morphed into a status of opposition to God. And that's our cosmic two. So we have this idea, and the reason for this is 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. So here we see man in spiritual death, unable to properly comprehend the truth, because they're in spiritual death, are in a status of opposition. In other words, they refuse to choose the truth. It's not just that they're unaware of it. It's an active rejection. And we see the reason for that in Revelation 12, that Satan is the one who deceives the entire world. So ultimately, though, he's deposed. He's already been positionally deposed in Jesus on the cross, but not experientially yet, because God is allowing the church age believers to participate in the deposing of the remainder of the angels that are followed him. So we are basically in the process of participating in this dethroning experientially as we function in the spiritual life. In other words, our testimony is being brought into view in the spiritual domain as a repudiation of the devil and his angels in their rejection of God's word and his truth. So last time we noted that every day thousands of believers living in the cosmic system make hundreds of thousands of decisions from a position of weakness. These decisions reflect the philosophy of Satan and his cosmic system. Of course, this is why the nation is in such a situation today where we have such division. Of course, Satan's an architect of division. He is the one who accuses the brethren day and night. And his objective is to divide and conquer. And that's how he implements his policy, is through division. And so Jesus is the opposite. He creates unity. But the only place unity can exist is in truth. Satan doesn't care about truth. He just cares about division, which provides him an opening for his own personal advancement. And so he divides and conquers, and he doesn't care what category of truth people reject, as long as they reject something related to truth. Once the free will decision is made to live in the cosmic system, the person loses their ability to make decisions from a position of strength. So the only way there's a position of strength is it relates to God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. In the cosmic system, all decisions made under the influence of arrogance, of emotion, and hatred are decisions from a position of weakness. So this is why it requires the work of God in dealing with our, not only our fall in Adam, but all in the sense of salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone, but also in our experience through positive listening to Jesus by acknowledging any known sin. So in essence, as we acknowledge any known sin and take responsibility for our decision in choosing that, then we are purified from all wrongdoing. And of course, that's the work of the Holy Spirit that's provided on the basis of Jesus' work on the cross, just like the work of the Holy Spirit in common grace provides reconciliation for the unbeliever because of Jesus' work on the cross. So it all goes back to God's grace policy. In the cosmic system, emotional arrogance and hatred cause people to hate God, His word, His people, His policy, and His plan, so access to the truth that is required to make good decisions is restricted by negative volition. This is why I've noted previously that we are the ones who inhibit ourselves. God provided infinite potential for us in His spiritual life. The restrictor plate on our activity is our own negative volition. So we limit ourselves. The potential that is provided for us in the portfolio of invisible assets is beyond what we could imagine. And we will not even achieve that because, or achieve its conveyance, because during our lifetime we have periods of time when we operate in negative volition, limiting that reality. Of course, the only one who actually maxed the system out is Jesus, since he never operated in negative volition. So that's why he's the ultimate individual in the system. He's the one by which and through which and on the basis of which all things are established and maintained. So Jesus is the one who was perfect, maintained his perfection, and maxed out the plan. Now there are others along the way who certainly have done and will do well, but Jesus is the only one who's perfect in his experience. We are positionally perfect because of what Jesus has done for us, but experientially we are in and out. The only way to recover is to make a good decision from a position of strength that must be based on the application of doctrine that's made under the grace ministry of, under one of the grace ministries of God, the Holy Spirit. And this is a principle of God making war against the arrogant, but giving grace to the humble. Humility, remember, we defined arrogance as disorientation to truth. Now, people misunderstand arrogance and humility. Arrogance has nothing to do with the way one bears oneself or the way one presents oneself. It has to do with truth. Humility is the same way. It's just that Jesus was the ultimate, the greatest person, the most humble person ever. And the most arrogant individual was Satan. So those are the opposite, polar opposites of the situation. Now the Bible refers to Moses as being the most humble man on the face of the earth at the time that that was written. Of course, that had to do with Moses and his exile in Midian, as he was being, God was preparing him to function in the release of Israel from Egypt. So at that juncture, the two divergent individuals would have been Moses and Pharaoh. Pharaoh representing the cosmic system. And of course, it talks about the parallels of the spiritual implication of Egypt and Israel. Of course, correlates Egypt to the world system and Israel to God's people, which they were, of course. But just like we are, by grace and faith, extracted from the cosmic system by God's work through Jesus, they were extracted from Egypt through God's work as to ultimately Moses. So at that juncture in history, he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And it simply means that he was the most oriented to truth. He had the maximum amount of truth, and he represented the truth in spite of his failures. And he was God's person at that juncture in history. And of course, he was the one who founded, basically, the nation of Israel. Decisions are made either from a position of weakness, creating slavery, or from a position of strength, creating freedom. So the consequences of our choices result in a status quo. One is tyranny, and the other is liberty. People develop the trend because they make decisions all the time. So as people make decisions, they develop momentum in their decision making. So an object or a person that tends to make consistent decisions on the basis of a lie will perpetuate and exacerbate their tyranny, whereas a person who has a tendency to make decisions on a position of strength and the truth will continue to tend to create freedom and opportunity. The two are in opposition. Unless something changes the decision-making process, in the decision-making process, momentum develops from the trend, so a person making bad decisions tends to make bad decisions, and a person making good decisions tends to make good decisions. Of course, this is why our decision-making is so critical as we function in the spiritual life. Because an object to tending to make good decisions will tend to persist in that reality. The demonized people get their discipline from their own bad decisions that they constantly make from a position of weakness, because the momentum they have developed from living inside Satan's cosmic system. So the system is designed to actually create what we think about or what we do, you know, what we how we function. People who function in evil tend to create more evil, whereas people who function in divine good tend to create more divine good. So it's self-actualizing is what it amounts to. God has created his spiritual power system to enable believers to consistently make good decisions from a position of strength. But when the believer rejects God's word, they enter into Satan's cosmic system that's designed to ensnare them and perpetuate their making bad decisions from a position of weakness. See, it actually cuts us off from the power of God, minus the Spirit, of course. The Holy Spirit always reaches into the devil's world and is convicting us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So the Holy Spirit's always active, and his mission is to evangelize everybody. In fact, he actually does evangelize everyone, whether they respond or not, doesn't really matter. But he brings into their awareness the issues that the individual has to deal with, and also presents the options. So, and of course, that's, we are permitted to participate in that process if we have positive listening to the word, and God will put us in positions where we can evangelize. And we're benefited by that is because there's a crown associated with evangelism. Satan even tries to destroy his own people who are losers in the cosmic system because arrogance has no loyalty to anyone but itself. So we see this halfway through the tribulation where Satan's thrown back to the earth. And he makes war against his human pawns in an attempt to vindicate, well, actually, to an attempt to make God a liar. Remember, his objective is to refute God. So, as long as creatures can aid and abet his objective, which is to refute God, he tolerates them. But when he reaches the end, this is that halfway point in the tribulation, is basically when he realizes that there's no, that he can't win. He can't win the case. And so he just goes to war with his own people and attempts to destroy humanity. Of course, that's why at the very end, Jesus shows up to stop that from happening. And of course, that's where the Battle of Megiddo occurs in the valley there. And of the armies that are actually assault, beginning to create an assault against Jerusalem, which would also take out the entire world, are terminated and removed from the planet. The internationalist communist fascists who have hijacked the Democrat Party and stolen their identity are demonstrating this, and if they win, they will try to force the godless, evil, secular, and economic policies on the nation that will establish tyranny and destroy liberty. So we face this in a microcosm right now in our nation. Certainly not on the scale that existed in tribulation, but it's significant because the client nation and its function in the devil's world is one of the ways that God is protecting mankind. Of course, he's created divine establishment and the bubbles, basically, that are created by the various categories of establishment to protect mankind from himself. So nations and languages and all those things are part of God's protective process. And of course, the beginning of that is with volition. People are free to make choices one way or another, and that means that they're not controllable always. Many times they are, but many times they're not. So freedom, marriage, family, nationalism, and all the artifacts of those are part of God's system of creating beachheads in the devil's world that will sustain his assaults. And of course, we have an assault on our nation right now, and being the client nation, we're under specific assault because we are representing truth, at least to the extent that we have established a viewpoint. Loyalty in any system demands integrity, and those who are functioning in the cosmic system have no integrity. The arrogance of the cosmic system cancels integrity, honor, and virtue. So people living in the cosmic system are unstable, irrational, have no integrity, honor, or virtue. So you wonder why you can't make deals with individuals of that ilk. Well, there's your reason. You wonder why we can't make deals with Islam. Well, there's the reason. There's no integrity there. They will never, because of their viewpoint, they will never ultimately. They may briefly align with us for certain circumstances, like they, under the basis of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, that you're not a friend for very long. This happened during World War II with Stalin. You know, as soon as World War II was ended and our mutual enemy, the Third Reich, was destroyed and Japan were destroyed, then immediately where did it go? Cold War. So wars and rumors of wars will exist permanently as long as the devil is running around and not controlled. And again, we've noted how he creates war at the end of the millennium. So as soon as he's released, he foments rebellion. So the people, people, what it amounts to is he's already there, and the people have negative volition, so they're basically a wide open venue for him to operate. And so he just takes advantage of that negative volition and creates an oppositional force, which of course we know in Revelation is destroyed as they attempt to attack the unwalled city. This can also be used to understand the principle of true and false worship. Under the principle of true worship, you can only give to God what you actually possess. Revelation chapters 4 and 5 teach that we cannot give glory to God, since we possess no inherent glory of our own. But we can give honor, respect, time, and concentration to His Word. See, we don't have anything. We can only give to God what we have acquired from Him. So, the only thing that we really have that's available for us to provide is our volition. And based on that, then we either acquire or do not acquire other things that can be utilized in worship. But remember, we start out in a position of complete and total weakness. That's called depravity. So since that's where we start, we have nothing except volition. And we can use volition to recognize the truth and respond to it positively. Religion is a false system of worship because it demands that you give what you do not have. And religion and demonism together demand that human sacrifice be given, that you tithe with the result that you give money you do not have, and that you do penance and give an attempt to assuage the guilt complex through self-sacrifice that never works. See, religion combined with demonism, or religious, is religion's the next category of cosmic two we're going to look at. But religion is a demonic substitute for truth. And it involves human activity that demands things that people don't really have. So you end up compromising yourself in the process. Under the principle of true worship, no matter what you give in worship, you still have the source of the gift, so you are never depleted by true giving. So that's the principle of God. See, God is the source, and so when we give, we don't deplete ourselves when we give under His grace policy. This is not so in religion, because religion teaches demon doctrines that demand giving the wrong thing in a wrong way for the wrong reason, and possibly at the wrong time. So that's how we see. So religion makes demands on people because it functions more from a position of ritual rather than reality. And ultimately, the problem with that is it results in improper motivation and doing the right thing in the wrong way. So the next category of cosmic two activity is religion. Christianity and religion are antithetical, and in Christianity, God saves mankind through personal faith in Jesus Christ, and in religion, man seeks to impress God with his human good works. So this would be a good place to start next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word and the blessing that it is for us to acquire it, so that we can take advantage of your grace and deploy your word under the ministry of the Spirit to our benefit and your glory. We ask you to help us to recall and apply this as the opportunity presents itself, and we ask this thank you in Jesus' name, amen.